First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com, where you can go for all the latest stories we've got going. And also visit EdSpringsteen.com. You can get caught up on a lot more. As a matter of fact, we put a story up today at EdSpringsteen.com concerning the appointment, if you will, of Jerry Abramson to the White House, hand chosen by Barack Obama. We're actually going to spend some time talking about that tonight. While you're at LouisvillePolitics.com or at Springs.com, please make sure you join an email newsletter, and we will deliver the news that we post throughout the week, month, on a weekly or monthly basis to your email inbox. We will not spam you on a daily basis like most people do. And also, if you wouldn't mind, join the RSS feed and become a subscriber to the radio show. And if you're so inclined, please, we spend a lot of money, a lot of time and resources on the investigations and everything else that we do, including open record requests and even filing charges and defending them. So we could certainly use your help. Please use the donate button at either one of those if you prefer to help us out by using PayPal. You can also GoFundMe link that is now up on the EdSpringsteen.com site if you'd like to join that funding effort there. And for those of you who don't like to do that kind of stuff online, you can send checks straight to P.O. Box 58146 here in Louisville, Kentucky, 40268. And you can certainly get your help. But now that business is out of the way, let's just really get right to it. I tell you, it's amazing to me how quiet, if you will, how quiet things have gotten on the liberal front, especially in social media and online and things like that. Everybody is scared to talk about what's going on since the elections on Tuesday, and I find that fascinating. I really, really. Everybody had all the opinions. Everybody had all the answers. Everybody knows everything until the elections. Then all of a sudden, everybody shuts up. And to me, it's humorous. But I tell you how bad it's gotten when we start looking at some of the things that are going on around this country. We're going to talk about all of the rate. We're going to talk about the politics and everything else in a second. But there's one story that came out yesterday that was really intriguing to me. And it got worse even today. And the story is coming out of Florida. A 90-year-old man by the name of Arnold Abbott. Arnold Abbott had started an organization back in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, many, many years ago to sit there and feed the hungry, feed the homeless. Yesterday, he was arrested, according to the Broward Palm Beach New Times, he was arrested for feeding the homeless. I find that very disturbing. Kudos to 90-year-old Arnold Abbott because he didn't give in to that. Today, he went out to feed the homeless again and was rearrested for doing the same thing he did yesterday. Abbott is a World War II veteran. He fought in the civil rights movement, according to the Broward Palm Beach New Times. And he's sitting out here trying to help people that need help. Now, everybody will sit here and make the argument, well, most people that are homeless don't need it, and I've seen the asinine statements. Well, if they're out there holding a sign saying, that they need money and they need help, they're homeless, they have kids to feed. Well, who's watching the kids? How do they pay for the daycare? Just stupid stuff, right? There are people out there that do take advantage and don't really care. But in this particular case, you've got a 90-year-old gentleman who has been doing this since the early 90s. Helping provide food for the homeless, all of a sudden, it's a problem. The reason it's a problem is Fort Lauderdale changed their laws on October the 22nd to not allow them to do this. According to Mayor Jack Seiler, however you want to pronounce it, Abbott is simply not following the law, and he will continue to be stopped and arrested by police if he continues to feed the homeless. Seiler, to me, is heartless. He goes on to say, Mr. Abbott has decided that he doesn't think these individuals should have to have any interaction with the government and that they should be fed in the parks. We disagree. That is, for an elected official to be that arrogant, I really hope that Mayor Seiler loses his next election because he certainly deserves to. But in the meantime, Abbott is going to face a $500 fine every time he's arrested. He can also face a maximum 4-month jail sentence for each offense. And he's doing something to help. Well, here's my thing, and they're going to call this vagrancy and all this other stuff, because people are sitting outside on the street, and so that doesn't mean anything. But here's the thing for me: the Salvation Army, the United Way. All of these other so-called charitable organizations, many of which have food drives, deliver food to homeless shelters. Those people are feeding the homeless. So why is it so hard? Why is it so hard? Why is it that this individual cannot feed the homeless if he chooses to? Why? Because these particular homeless are out in public view. Fort Lauderdale doesn't want anybody to see that they have a homeless problem. Fort Lauderdale has a serious homeless problem, folks. And because they're out in the open, they're scared that it's going to destroy their tourism business. Oh, wait a minute. Yep, you're right. It all comes down to money. Here is a gentleman trying to help someone who's down on their luck. A 90-year-old gentleman who's been doing this since at least the early 90s. And Fort Lauderdale changed their rules because they don't want the world to know that they have homeless people in their city. Because it might make people scared to come there and spend their tourism dollars. You've got no problem if you feed homeless, as long as you're United Way, Salvation Army, or any of these other homeless shelters, and these other charitable people, if you will, organizations. As long as you're one of them, it's okay because you're feeding the homeless behind closed doors and nobody sees it and nobody knows they exist. Well, I've got a great idea for you, Mayor Seiler. Fantastic idea. It probably is something you've never heard of before because you have no humanity and you have no compassion. But here's something you really ought to consider. might make sense. I don't know. Do something in your town to create a job that aren't dependent for out-of-town tourists a few months a year. Give people an opportunity to succeed so they can buy their own food. And for that percent of the population that's homeless in Fort Lauderdale, because there are a lot of veterans that are homeless in Fort Lauderdale, primarily because of the weather. They don't have to worry about freezing to death if they come to Kentucky and have to sleep under a daggone overpass. Something with your tax dollars to get them the help that they need. Instead of spending your tax dollars going after people like Mr. Abbott and finding him to death for having compassion and a heart, maybe you should spend the tax dollars doing the right thing by your constituency. And I personally hope and pray, Mayor Seiler, yes, I said pray, that somehow, some you get removed from office, and I don't care by any means necessary. If you're the best that we have to show off as a political leader, then you need to be gone. For anyone interested, follow the saga of Arnold Abbott online, look him up. Hell, we might even start a GoFundMe page for him just to get him more money so he can spend money and make more food for the homeless population down there and maybe help with the legal expenses that this inhumane mayor is putting on him. I just find that very, very insulting. This is the problem. This is the problem with America today. Asinine leaders like Mayor Jack Seiler wants to sit here and tell us that we're not supposed to care about other people. And he's telling that to a 90-year-old World War II veteran who's spending his own money and his own time doing just that. He's doing the job that Mayor Seiler is not doing. He's helping take care of the people who can't take care of themselves. So as far as I'm concerned, Abbott isn't just a war hero. He is a human hero for his efforts and being willing to be arrested each and every day for following through on his convictions to help other people. And I think he deserves to be commended for that. I really, really do. So from us to you, thank you for your efforts, Mr. Abbott. We will do our best to help you out in any way we can. We've got to move on to the politics. I'm sorry for taking so much time on that, but I was really offended by that. I get sick and tired of it. But more things offend me than even that. Today, here in Kentucky, last night we had a panel on air, Paul Holliger, Paul Hossie, and Ken Molman, each of which are independent analysts for different parts of the game. Independent, researchers, libertarians. You know, we put together a panel. We discussed a lot of the things that happened in this election cycle. And pretty much one of the things that we kind of agree on is that Republicans won in droves. But it wasn't necessarily that people believed in the Republican agenda. They just realized that Obama's policies weren't working. And the liberal left policies weren't working. Here's the thing. We also pointed out the fact that Alison Grimes, one of her biggest problems in facing incumbent Mitch McConnell was Alison Grimes was too rehearsed, had no idea what in the world she was doing, and all of her campaign was being run out of Washington, not Kentucky. Kentucky election leadership was angry because they weren't included in the race, which may have helped her get a better race, or at least certainly a smaller margin of loss. Instead, she opted to go ahead and bump heads with Harry Reid and Barack Obama advisors. And these people are ones who actually led her campaign. But last night, Tuesday night, Republicans won in droves across the nation for whatever reason. Except in Kentucky, we didn't do anything right. And I have to tell you this because You know, and could tell you, well, Mark Twain once said, we've got an article out today at edsprings.com. You can check it out. The title is Desperate Obama Once Again Chooses B-Lister and Jerry Abramson. And I'll explain that to you in a second. But Mark Twain once famously said that when he dies, he wants to go to Kentucky because Kentucky does everything 20 years later. And that held very true in Kentucky state elections on Tuesday night. While the rest of the country was moving forward and casting their vote against the liberal left agenda that has destroyed America over the last few years, Kentucky decided they liked the status quo. They liked things just the way they are. Kentucky voters decided that they like being at the bottom of every statistical measurable in the entire nation, whether it's economy, social issues, anything. We are always dead last. In education, housing, you name it, we're dead last or close to the bottom, if you will, in most of those categories. Kentucky is an abysmal failure. Kentucky has been under Democratic leadership primarily for at least 6 or 7 decades. So you go back 60 or 70 years and a liberal left has destroyed Kentucky. We're known for high taxes. We're known for no growth. We're known for poor education. I can give you a big list. So imagine our surprise today when, after this abysmal failure that was Allison Grimes on Tuesday night against Mitch McConnell, our current liberal governor that is clueless, Governor Steve Beshear, made an announcement that his lieutenant governor, Jerry Abramson, was going to be part of Obama's leadership team in Washington as a local and state liaison. He is now the local and state liaison, the intergovernmental operator, if you will, to work with Barack Obama on local and state initiatives. It's hilarious to me, and I tell you why. Jerry Abramson made his whole career out of Louisville. Jerry Abramson was the next Kentucky Democrat golden boy. Jerry Abramson was led, bred, and brought up to be the next president of the United States. And yet he couldn't and chose intentionally not to choose a state or a higher level race, like a state race, a Senate race, a House race, or anything else. And there's a big reason for that. Because Jerry Abramson has so much baggage. Jerry Abramson has destroyed Louisville, Kentucky. Jerry Abramson did such a bad job of it that he could not and would not run for his last term as mayor. And the reason he didn't run for his last term as mayor, because yours truly outed him. We outed him. While mainstream media, the liberal media here in Louisville, is scared of Jerry Abramson and the Democratic machine, Ed Springsteen and Louisville News is not. And we outed Jerry Abramson with an audio clip of a speech he gave in West Virginia blaming poor old black people for all of Louisville's problems. You heard me right. You can go to edspringster.com and check out the article we posted today, and it's got links in there to the audio, and you will be shocked. But this is exactly what we've come to expect. And when the African-American community finally realized that Jerry Abramson had been lying to them for years and years and years, and he had been using them for his own political gain and destroying the communities, the inner urban core city of Louisville, right? When you get into all of this, Jerry Abramson just got caught. So what did he do? He turned tail and he ran to his good friend, Governor Steve Beshear, who said, "Don't worry, Jerry, I'll take care of you. Dan Mongiardo, you're not going to run again for my second term as lieutenant governor. I'm going to bring Jerry on here so I can take care of my buddy because I love him." And that's exactly what happened. It was a love fest connection. Steve Beshear brought Jerry Abramson up to Frankfort as a lieutenant governor and gave up Louisville because Jerry Abramson had destroyed Louisville to such an extent and then got caught with his loathing, condescending discussion in West Virginia against the same damn people who had always elected him and believed in him. Louisville's West End is poor, folks. We are no different than the Chicago's. And when it comes to the inner cities, we're no different than the boroughs in New York when it comes to the inner cities. We're no different than these folks. Detroit, we're no different. And this was all because of Jerry Abramson's reign. And I am very proud and thankful that I was able to out that audio clip. I was, because we were finally able to prove it. But that's the problem today. So imagine my shock when it's announced that Jerry Abramson is going to go to Washington to work with the president as his intergovernmental head, heading up local and state government agendas. Jerry Abramson isn't smart enough to do that. I ran against Jerry Abramson in 2006 here in Louisville for mayor. And I said one thing to him that really made him angry. I told him, I said, Jerry, if I was hiring a salesman, I'd hire you tomorrow and I'd pay you top dollar. If that was your only job, you'd be hired. And the reason for that is, folks, like it or not, Jerry Abramson can sell. Oh, he's a cheerleader. He's a cheerleader extraordinaire. He can sell ice to an Eskimo. And I've got at least one person in the listening queue who chastised me for that because I made that statement in my article earlier today. You know, but he can sell ice to an Eskimo and send it to the remotest, coldest part of the planet. But delivery is something he can never do. Sales are one thing, folks. You have to deliver the product. Jerry Abramson sold a bill of goods to everybody in Louisville for years and years and years and failed to deliver every promise he ever made. In fact, under his leadership, things got progressively worse. Notice the word progressive in the statement. Jerry Abramson finally got caught in his own lies, and he left. And the problem with Jerry Abramson is, even though he could sell ice to that Eskimo and send it to the coldest, remotest spot on the planet, somehow, some way, Jerry Abramson would screw up delivery, and by the time it got to that coldest point on the planet, the ice would be melted, and more than half of it would be gone due to evaporation, and Jerry would be clueless as to how it happened that way. He cannot deliver. Jerry Abramson is known to destroy, not build. And Barack Obama is so desperate to reach the inner city core, because that's the only base he has left, that might support what I am scared he's going to do over the next 2 years, that he reaches into Louisville to get Jerry Abramson. Or was that part of the deal? Think about that. Here in Louisville, you can ask anyone. Ask your public safety personnel, your fire department, your firefighters, your Louisville police officers, EMS workers. Just go to those public safety personnel. Ask them how they were treated by this administration, by the Jerry Abramson regime. And it certainly was a regime. Jerry Abramson refused to pay any of those people contract agreement wages. What would have cost a couple of million dollars, between $5 and $7 million, when he lost the lawsuit that had to be filed against him for to be compensated for what he screwed these folks out of, Jerry Abramson decided to fight in court over and over and over using his pets. And I have to say pet here, folks. He used his pet legal attorneys that he fed all this city work to so that they would take care of him. He would use all of these daggone pet attorneys to continue fighting in court, which cost us millions of dollars, not only in legal fees, but this $5 to $7 million range that we could have easily settled where he had failed ended up costing us tens of millions of dollars in each situation. The largest settlement, I believe, was $47 million, and we had two or three other settlements that were more than that. It ended up costing this community, instead of $5 to $7 million, it ended up costing this community the other side of close to $100 million overall. That is Jerry Abramson, and that's what Jerry Abramson knows about government. His cronies get paid to defend the indefensible. And while the unions were out there campaigning for Jerry Abramson and endorsing Jerry Abramson, see, this is the hypocrisy of unions too, folks. They've never met a Democrat that they don't like. But while the unions were out there standing beside Jerry publicly, he was stabbing them in the back. He was stabbing them in the back. And these unions publicly were supporting him like he was some kind of a great guy, but they privately despised the man. Despised him. No one was more thankful than the unions in Louisville that he finally went to, he got the hell out of the mayor's office because they could not stand him. They were literally sick every time there was an election trying to go out there and spew this endorsement of Jerry Abramson because the union leadership expected them to. This is the guy that Barack Obama chose to work with local and state governments on his behalf. There has never been anything with Jerry Abramson that he could brag about. I mean, ask Jerry Abramson how he helped destroy the pensions in Kentucky. Led the way by destroying the pensions for our Louisville people. We now have a fiscal cliff pension problem looming that is going to drive Kentucky over the fiscal cliff. We're teetering on the edge, and it isn't pretty. If you think I'm lying, Google it. Kentucky has been voted and ranked as one of the worst pensions in the country. And it started with Jerry Abramson and Louisville. And it got even worse when the rest of the state followed suit. This is Jerry Abramson. And Barack Obama somehow believes that he is qualified to help the inner cities or anybody else. It is disturbing. It really, really is. Jerry Abramson in his talk, in his speech today following Governor Steve Beshear, said that essentially his role is that he will have a hand in helping shape a range of policies that will include job creation, education, housing and transportation. Jerry Abramson didn't create jobs in Louisville, folks. He hasn't created jobs in Kentucky. His sole mission as lieutenant governor in Kentucky under Steve Beshear was to disappear and play ball when he was told to play ball. He's the Joe Biden of Kentucky, if you will. Except he can speak a little bit better than Joe Biden. I'll give him credit for that. But he's dumb as a box of rocks when it comes to reality. That's a scary thing to think that we're going to put him in Washington and he's actually going to have any kind of influence over the president. It really is. It's not just the jobs. Go to Google. Use whatever search engine you want to use. Google, Yahoo, I don't care who it is. But then look and see where Kentucky ranks with education. Right here in Louisville and Jefferson County, our education system is a mess. It is a mess. Education in Kentucky is ranked as one of the nation's worst overall. Jerry failed in Louisville. And he's failed in the state of Kentucky as lieutenant governor. Education isn't improving. Education has gotten worse every year since he took over. Every year he's been involved in the process, I should say. Let's look at housing and transportation. Jerry Abramson's own select individual, Kimberly Button, was heading up the Department of Housing here in Louisville. She was sifting money off the top. She was paying bills for her mom and everything else off of grant money. Did it for a long time. Abramson knew that. He'll deny it to this day. But eventually, Kimberly Button got caught as the Department of Housing chair, spending our money illegally, our tax money illegally, working for Jerry Abramson. And that's a common theme with anybody associated with Jerry Abramson, that they tend to not be trustworthy themselves. Transportation, I'm not going to waste the next hour talking about transportation in Louisville and Kentucky with Jerry Abramson. Let's just say we rank close to last in that category across the nation as well. We have no real transportation here in Louisville, downtown, or our inner city, or the entertainment district, or anywhere else. We rely on TARC buses. And believe me, those buses aren't reliable. You know, there is no definitive transportation plan. It never was, and we've never worked towards any in Louisville or across the state of Kentucky. And these are issues that Jerry Abramson says he's going to Washington for. I am proud to have been the guy who brought most of this stuff to light against Jerry Abramson. I am proud to have been the guy to out him with his own words, recorded words, about how he felt about the poorest in our community. And I am appalled that all of this is public record. And mainstream media and the AP put out a story today bragging about Jerry Abramson going to be Barack Obama's latest czar. You know, hiring Jerry Abramson to be a liaison in charge of intergovernmental operations with the local and state governments, to me, is like hiring a finance guy to be the Ebola czar under President Barack Obama. It just doesn't add up. Oh, wait, we did that too, didn't we? It's fascinating to me. We continue to look at these things. So what does this mean for Kentucky? Well, Kentucky, again, is so far behind I can't even begin to tell you the fallacies of the liberal agenda here in Kentucky. But essentially in Louisville, the Metro Council remained unchanged. They gained no seats. The Metro Council makeup is the same today as it was on Monday before the election. The Kentucky House Republicans gained no seats, and they expected to. They didn't know how to overcome the Democratic failures here in Kentucky. So that ought to tell you a lot about the GOP here. Somehow, some way, the liberal left agenda who has made Kentucky poor and Louisville poor has proven once again that their agenda works. And that agenda is a simple one. For some reason, the people in our state have become so paralyzed by the lies and the handouts by Democratic leaders that the only thing I can come up with is they honestly and truly don't have the capacity to think beyond the handout for themselves. Because if they could think for themselves, instead of worrying about the handout stopping, maybe they would come to understand that we have to make changes, just like the rest of the country did on Tuesday. Yes, Kentucky is 20 years behind. Yes, Mark Twain was right. And the liberal left in this state is going to sit there and woot and holler and cheer. Hey, look, Jerry Evans is going to the White House. Man, that's awesome. And think that we've accomplished something without opening their eyes to the reality that if he truly has any say or any power with Barack Obama, other than being a salesman, that once again, Kentucky will lose. He brings nothing to the table for here in Louisville. He brings nothing to the table for Kentucky. He certainly doesn't bring it to the table for the rest of the nation. But this is Obama's presidency. Dumb decisions. It brings up an interesting thing for folks here in Kentucky, though. What about next year's gubernatorial elections? When Steve Beshear announced today that Jerry Abramson was resigning, he also announced that a well-known name in Kentucky, Democrat Crit Llewellyn, was going to replace Jerry Abramson as lieutenant governor. He appointed Crit Llewellyn to replace Jerry Abramson. Truthfully, to me, I was surprised. A year ago, I told everybody that Steve Beshear was going to leave and go to Washington. Jerry Abramson would be promoted to the governor's base because of it, and that they would slide somebody in as lieutenant governor, probably a Jack Conway or a Crit Llewellyn. The game was right. The names were wrong. It ended up being Jerry Abramson going to Washington and Crit sliding into lieutenant governor's spot. But here's the question. Does Governor Steve Beshear have the constitutional right in Kentucky to appoint Crit Llewellyn to be lieutenant governor? When you look at the United States, If a vice president dies in office, the president can nominate someone to replace that vice president, but that person has to be voted on and approved by the Congress. It's just like any other appointment that the president would make. In the interim, until that appointment is approved, as I understand it, and maybe one of you constitutionalists can call me and tell me I'm wrong, because as I understand it, until that nomination is made and approved, technically the acting vice president at that point is the Senate Majority Leader, or I'm sorry, the House Speaker. So if Joe Biden decided to resign tomorrow, John Boehner would be not only the House Speaker, but he would effectively be serving as a vice president and carrying a dual hat, because if anything happened to the president at that point, John Boehner would assume that role. Well, in 1992, Kentucky tried to change a few things. According to David Adams at Kentucky Progress, and I'm going to go ahead and put that link into the chat room, and I believe it just did. It's there. According to David Adams over at Kentucky Progress, in 1992, the laws were changed. KRS 63.190 in 1942 stated that in every case where there's no provision of law for the filling of a vacancy in any office, the vacancy will be filled by an appointment by the governor. So in 1942, the governor can appoint anyone to any office he wants to if it's vacant. But in 1992, those rules were changed. And essentially, it said that since the governor and lieutenant governor are elected as a slate, the way that I interpret David Adams' article, I have not spoke with Adams, essentially, we have the same situation here in Kentucky that you have on a national level. That if that lieutenant governor resigns, then the governor can only submit a name for consideration to be approved. And in the meantime, that would make, in Kentucky, Senate Leader Bob Stivers the de facto lieutenant governor. In short, Steve Beshear may not have the constitutional right to appoint Crit Llewellyn. So I'm interested to see how that fight comes out, but I really want to figure out why Crit Llewellyn and what's going on here. Well, the truth of the matter is, Crit has never run for an office of that stature. And there's a reason for that. Crit has worked under six different governors through appointment. And quite frankly, as the, you know, the state auditor, I think Crit Llewellyn did one hell of a job. I've got a lot of respect for Crit in her role when she was the state auditor, the only elected position she ever held. But Crit has never sought another office, and there's a reason for that. What that reason is, we'll find out soon enough. But for me personally, I believe Crit was announced as the lieutenant governor, legal or illegal. We'll let David Adams work that constitutional argument out, and quite frankly, I think it's a valid argument. But whether legal or illegal, why did he appoint Crit Llewellyn? Well, for me personally, the person you want to put in that job would be someone you were setting up to replace you. This is Steve Beshear's last run. Once the next year is over, Steve Beshear's governorship is over. He's termed out. I believe that the original plan was to bring Alice in Wonderland Grimes in. I believe that was the real trade-off, and set her up for a future race, either as a governor candidate against Jack Conway, or maybe, you know, some office appointment by Jack Conway, or even Attorney General, the office that Jack Conway is hoping to give up in his quest to become a governor of Kentucky. But since Grimes lost so easily to Mitch McConnell and exposed just how not ready she is for political office, they can't. So are we now setting Crit Llewellyn up to see if she can withstand the scrutiny that surely will come her way? There's rumors about family situations and everything else about Crit Llewellyn that go back a long ways. some of which many people feel still go on today. It's a scrutiny that Crit Llewellyn has never had to address or stand up to. So are they testing the waters, spreading the word, kind of getting a feel for what may come down the pike? Is Crit set to run for governor? If not, then Crit Llewellyn is getting paid on our tax money to do nothing more than campaign for Democrat Jack Conway for the governorship for the next year. Crit Llewellyn and Jack Conway are tied at the hip, folks. And I don't mean that literally. But Crit Llewellyn thinks the world of Jack Conway. Says Abramson can't do any good for Jack Conway because nobody's going to pay any attention to him or give him anything in Kentucky. Get him out of the way. The deal was made to open the door for Alice in Wonderland Grimes to come into the governor's office as lieutenant governor. But she failed so miserably in her election against Mitch McConnell, that door of opportunity shut quickly. She's now on the outside looking in. But the deal was already made to take Abramson out to create that position. So you move somebody in that has a shot, Crit Llewellyn or Jack Conway. It's going to be interesting to watch for the next year. And I think it's very, very fascinating that Kentucky is in that situation. You know, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, I want to kind of spend a few minutes. You know, Mitch McConnell, Alice in Wonderland Grimes, was, you know, the lie within the lie. The Democratic Party was even lying to themselves, swearing up and down that this race was so close it was unbelievable, spending money hand over fist based on lies from Jonathan Hirst and Alice in Wonderland Grimes campaign handlers. It was, you talk about spreading a lie to try to force, you know, an opinion onto people. I mean, that was it. This was the biggest farce I've ever seen. So I want to spend some time. I think that we had a few people get together at the Courier-Journal, and I'm actually giving props for this because they did identify some things that they felt were the problem in this election for her. And I want to explore that just a little bit more as well. You know, and we've got another story we'll talk about, too, concerning the federal courts. But in the meantime, stick around. We're going to take a short break. Give me a chance to catch my breath. My throat is raw. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Ed Springer Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Oh. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Back, folks. We are back to the Ed Springer Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. I apologize tonight. My voice is a little messed up. I'm having a real hard time speaking. You know, this weather's going back. What's what I commonly refer to as a Kentucky crud, and apparently it's hit me pretty good, too. You know, going into break, we're talking a lot about the failures of Jerry Abramson and what really goes on with politics in Kentucky. That's just the tip of the iceberg. When you go to edspringston.com, use the upper left search bar and type in Jerry Abramson, and you'll see all you need to know. I mean, complete with artwork showing different things that he's done behind the scenes, the audio, all kinds of things. And it's amazing to me that nobody does any vetting of folks like this. They just jump on the bandwagon. The liberal media says, oh, hey, you know, we got this guy. Obama's going to appoint him, and he's a good, loyal Democrat, so we don't have to say nothing too much about him. You know, and the problem is nobody knows the truth and don't care to know. And yet, you know, and before I get into the other story about what happened with McConnell and Graham, I really got to point this out because the WashingtonExaminer.com put out an article today, and they actually had audio of a PMSNBC interview with Tim Scott. And for those of you who don't know who Tim Scott is a Republican senator-elect out of South Carolina. He's the first Republican African-American senator since Reconstruction to be voted to the Senate. It is a huge historic election, and he happens to be a Republican. So what does PMSNBC do today? And some of you may take offense that we call it PMSNBC. I really don't care. That's a term that our good friend Dale Gillespie came up with a long time ago, and I, quite frankly, I like it because they are not a news organization. They are a liberal hack attack dog. That is all they are. And I think they proved it today. PMSNBC host Tom Roberts actually asked Senator-elect Tim Scott, as a Republican, you say you're concerned about kids that are growing up in a wrong zip code and had a tough start on the way out. But if we look at agencies that are following some of your voting records, they have concern. The NAACP has given you an F on their annual scorecard. One or two trash Tim Scott, an African-American senator-elect, winning a historic election, and immediately, instead of saying, congratulations on your win, how does it feel to beat history and to be this face, you know, and all this other things? How do you feel about this? You know, what are your plans going forward? How are you going to impact anything to do with his agenda? They made it about race, and not in a positive way. They weren't positive, you know, with race, saying, you know, Senator-elect Tim Scott, how does it feel to be the first African-American elected to the Congress or to the Senate since Reconstruction? Is that something you're proud of? No. They couldn't do that. They couldn't do the honorable thing because Tim Scott is a Republican. No, what they had to do was say, hey, you're an Uncle Tom. That was the implication, was it not? The NAACP doesn't even like you, and you're a black guy. How do you explain that? Was that not the implication? That he certainly can't be any good because he's a black man who's got an R behind his name? That he is so bad that his own people, the black community, can't even like him? Because the NAACP says he's no good. He's got an F. That, to me, was a pathetic display by the liberal left and proved their agenda once again. It was awful. Tim Scott handled that tremendously. He did a great job with it. When Tom Roberts tried to goad him and get him all angry and everything else because the NAACP, your peoples don't like you. Like an asinine, unprofessional, liberal, left-leaning, socialist, progressive, communist media interviewer would do. And that's all I can think of Tom Roberts after even bringing that up today. Tim Scott showed what a class guy he was. It wasn't because he was black. It was because he's secure in who he is. These attacks are meaningless because Tim Scott has succeeded where folks like Tom Roberts apparently have failed. He has succeeded in life. Scott responded with a laugh. And he told Tom Roberts, let's just ask ourselves, if we look back at history, Congress was controlled by the Democrats for 40 consecutive years. What was the result of that control? What happened to black America? We saw greater poverty. He shut Tom Roberts down and put him in his place and told Tom Roberts, him and the NAACP can go straight to hell, that they are the problem, not the solution. Tim Scott is the solution. And the reason he's solution is not because he's a black man who's a Republican. It's not because he's a successful black man. It's because he is a successful man, period. He says that progress has to be made and that government is not the answer for progress. Tim Scott, for those of you who don't know, is not a spoon-fed rich guy, white or black. He was brought up in poverty. He was fortunate enough as a young guy, and he gives full credit to being mentored by a Chick-fil-A operator who taught him that success of the American economy happens through business ownership and entrepreneurial spirit. That is why he succeeded. He came from the bottom to the top and has now made history. He says the answer to poverty is a simple one. It's found in a good education and a strong work ethic. PMSNBC couldn't do the right thing. They couldn't give the man credit. They try to imply that because he's a black man that the NAACP doesn't like him, that he's really not a good black man. They couldn't give him credit for being the good man that he is. They made race a part of the equation. And that is what the liberal left Democratic agenda has always done, and that's why it failed miserably Tuesday night and backfired against them across the nation. But not here in Louisville, Kentucky, because, you know, apparently we like that kind of stuff. But here in Kentucky, we did have a race that everybody was watching. It was built on lies from both sides. Mitch McConnell didn't tell us anything that we didn't already know. He went into the mud often and frequently. But Mitch McConnell has done that in six elections. What would anyone think would be any different? He ran a campaign he always runs. Focused, direct, to the point, and ugly. And that's why he wins. He doesn't deviate from the plan. He knows the plan, and he sticks to his plan. You got to give him credit for that, like him or not. Alice in Wonderland Grimes, though, had serious problems. She had no plan because she had no business being in the race. She had no plan because she didn't have anybody in the race that knew how to help her develop one. She could not talk to the media open and freely. She was a robotic version talking about memorized highlights she was giving by Obama people. The same people who trained Obama how to read a teleprompter, I guess. She was getting all her money through Harry Reid and Hollywood. But the six takeaways, according to this Courier Journal article, and this including, you know, they've got this including Joe Girth, he's the one who wrote the article. Grimes never really had a chance as the first. And he blames the political climate. She never had a chance given a political climate. But at least he starts out with that in bold and tries to imply that, you know, the odds were just stacked against her and there was no way she could win if she was perfect. But at least he does follow it up to say that that doesn't mean she doesn't bear some responsibility. Her answers throughout the campaign were rehearsed, and she rarely seemed to be speaking from the heart when dealing with the media. I agree with that assessment. Point number two. He said that although the Democrats' turnout organization was light years ahead of Republicans in 2012, he says McConnell flipped that this year and put it on us here in Kentucky because the counties with the highest turnout were almost all in counties McConnell won. Of the 39 counties that had more than 50% turnout, Grimes only won two. And, you know, that was a big thing we were talking about leading into this election right here. I think our good friend Paul Holliger with Stopit came on and talked about it. You know, Ed Martin, we talked about it. Ken Moman on Monday, we talked about it. It really came down to what the turnout was going to be, who was going to show up. I personally felt that the Democrats weren't going to show up. But if the Republicans didn't show up in greater numbers than normal, then they were going to have a problem winning as well. Well, here in Kentucky, they did. But around the country, it seems to be exactly that. The Republicans somehow learned how to get people to go to the polls and vote. And that was a big difference in the campaign right here in Kentucky between McConnell and Grimes, and I believe that was the biggest difference across the entire country. And Gert goes on to say that Grimes completely collapsed in places that she needed to do best. And this is where I like Joe Gert. This is the part of Joe Gert that I do like. He actually shows us why. In Lexington, for example, he tells us that, you know, Alice in Wonderland Grimes beat McConnell by just 6,200 votes. 6,259 is what he's putting in there. And what's interesting about that is Grimes is from there. You know, she should have won big and did not. Oldham County has less than 25% of the votes that they have in Fayette County. Gave McConnell a 7,300 vote cushion. So anything that he lost in Fayette County, which he's supposed to lose, Lexington and Louisville aren't going to elect Mitch McConnell for anything. I'm sorry, but it's just the way it is. They're always going to vote Democrat, always have. But those numbers were a lot closer than they normally are. And then you get into, you know, other places. You've got things here like Oldham County and other things that the turnout and the votes showed a big difference that worked in McConnell's favor that typically don't. I mean, you got to realize, folks, Mitch McConnell won most of the counties in the state. I think Allison Grimes got 10, and he got 110, and Mitch McConnell got 110 counties in the state of Kentucky. That's incredible. You know, one of the other things Gert points out, and we'll go through these quick because I really want to put these out because I think Gert did a great job here for a change. But Gert points out that Republicans should have won additional seats in the state House of Representatives, and everybody in media here in Kentucky agrees with that. I thought they would. They needed to pick up 5 seats to take the majority. I didn't expect them to pick up 5, but I did tell everyone I thought they could possibly get 2, maybe 3. We went through a redistricting, and some of those new districts do favor Democrats, but we had credible candidates like Mike Nemes against Linda Belcher, a district that was set up just for her through redistricting as a deal made with Dan Simon. If I was Mike Nemes, I would be pissed. It was all by design to save Dan Simon, in my opinion, but that race wasn't won, and I thought it would be. So that was one of the 2, possibly 3 seats that I was thinking they could have picked up, and they didn't. Kentucky Republicans didn't pick up any seats in the House of Representatives. In 2010, Rand Paul had an 11-point victory, and, you know, the State House picked up and things like that. The county did pretty well. The city did pretty well. So Rand Paul had some coattails, but Mitch McConnell didn't. And with Mitch McConnell as Senate Majority Leader, the reason I think this is important is we're going to see what those coattails look like today, because Rand Paul has become the face of the new Republican Party, if you will. Him and Ted Cruz, like him or not, have become the face of this so-called new Republican Party. So it's going to be interesting what happens now that Mitch McConnell assumedly will have all the power of the Senate, and see how that relates to coattails. And one of the other things he points out is how bad Barack Obama is toxic in Kentucky. And, of course, he is. He always has been. Because throughout the state of Kentucky, believe it or not, even though Democrats win a lot of seats, you would think that Kentucky was ultra-liberal. In many places, the economic engines of the state, if you will, Louisville, Lexington, the 2 largest cities, you know, Louisville is supposed to be the economic engine of the state, and yet we're dependent on federal dollars to survive. That's how, you know, that's how bad we are. Those are the ultra-liberal places. But when you get into the rest of Kentucky and the 118 other counties that are out there, the Democrats in those parts of the state are typically what used to be considered conservative Democrats. They're the old-school Democrats. They're conservatives at heart who have no problem switching and voting for Republicans because they're voting conservative values, not party politics. So with the exception of Louisville and Lexington, that's what you get in Kentucky, which is really unfortunate sometimes because, like I said, you know, the House seats, this old guard Democrat who vote conservative values is fantastic, but I don't think that they're paying attention to the way the House is being operated and votes are being cast. Because Greg Stumbaugh is the House leader here in Kentucky, and you know, we're continuing to fall behind because the conservative values that seem to be the most important to these voters are abortion and gay marriage, the divisive things that don't do anything for the economy here in Kentucky. So those are the things that we have to focus on. That's it for tonight, folks. I hope I gave you a lot to think about. There was a whole lot of things I wanted to get into tonight, but by gosh, you know, I just got so frustrated today putting these articles out. I got frustrated today, and I decided we were going to go ahead and break down a few more things than we normally do and just focus on one or two topics instead of running the gamut. With that being said, that's it for tonight. I appreciate you being here. Don't forget our good friend Ken Molman, Sunday night at 7 o'clock with his Liberty Unbridled show. I'm sure he will have a lot to say about this week's elections on his weekly show Sunday night. In the meantime, I'll be back here on Monday night at 7 as usual with the Ed Springsteen show. And who knows where we're going to go. So have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us. It's been a busy week. I hope you've enjoyed it. Take care.